I've also always had the mentality of you never know who's in the same room as you. You never know who you're going to cross paths with.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we welcome Ashley Lopez, the Director of Player Development and Recruiting Operations for the Women's Basketball Program at Arizona State University. Coach Lopez started her collegiate coaching career at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, where she built her foundation in player development and recruiting. She then moved on to Grand Canyon University, continuing to grow her skill set and reputation as a rising coach in Division I women's basketball. From there, she joined Arizona State as a graduate assistant and quickly earned more responsibility, eventually rising into an assistant role. At ASU, she played a part in the program's historic 32-win record-breaking season, contributing to both the culture and on-court successes. Her coaching path has blended experience at multiple programs with a consistent focus on developing players and holding them to high standards. Now, in her role at ASU, she oversees player development and recruiting operations while continuing to impact the program on a daily basis. In this episode, we discuss how she rose from a GA position to an assistant position while at the same school, being a part of a 32-win record-breaking season, and what all key components were in to help this, and her personal non-negotiable standard she brings into every player development workout. Please welcome to the podcast, Ashley Lopez. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome back, everybody. Bright Face is here today. Another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your host, Doug Caputo, Alan Major. Today, we are joined with the Director of Player Development and Recruiting Operations for the women's team at ASU, Arizona State University, Coach Ashley Lopez. Coach Lopez, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys so much. I'm excited and ready to dive in.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. We know it's... Whenever the word ops and free time usually aren't in the same sentence. So just the fact that you carved out a little space for us, we appreciate it. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The best part, and let me first, I want to take a step back and say, I want to give a shout out to Coach Medina, Coach Patty, for giving us the hookup and connecting us with this. And as we always say, it's a connection-based industry, and to be able to have one person connect you to the next and learn stories. And so shout out to Patty, and thank you for her. But let's talk about you. So as we like to do on this podcast, is we like to give everybody a full synopsis of what is under the hood of Coach Ashley Lopez, what has got you to the opportunity and the situation seat that you're in now. First things first, bringing you back to the roots, right? You're still a young coach in the industry, but when did you first realize that basketball was really going to open up more doors for you and give you more opportunity after the playing career had ended, that ball stops bouncing or whatever it might be? When did you know that this was the avenue?
Yeah, I think that I absolutely love to share this part of my story because not many people know, unless you read my bio, I was a golfer in college. And so I go back to my very young days. My mom always tells me that she can remember from the time I was 7, 8, 9 years old. They ask you in elementary school, what do you want to be when you get older? And my answer was always a basketball coach. And so from a very young age, basketball has had my heart through and through. And so growing up, golf was just what my parents stuck me in. My dad took me out on the golf course with him when I was 5. And so I think I was just his buddy, but then it turned into a real thing. And so played golf my whole life, but basketball was always the one sport that had my heart. And from, the age of 7, 8, I said, I'm going to be a coach. And that's what I stuck to. I never wavered. My dad was in law enforcement. My mom was in marketing. And I thought about, maybe I want to do what my dad does. And no, maybe I want to do marketing. I love talking to people and relationships and networking. But it never, ever changed from coaching basketball. So I get to high school and I play just about every sport you could think of. Played golf in college, but I immediately came back to basketball as soon as I was done swinging the club. I went back to the court and I was very blessed with some opportunities to be an athletic coordinator for a charter school league back home. coach a semi-pro men's basketball team, as well as a ton of youth leagues. And I've also been on the dark side. I was an official for 4 or 5 years. And so I've done everything you could ever think of when it comes to basketball: player development, coaching, scorekeeping, facilitating tournaments, running camps, her time to play in junior NBA camps. And I've just loved every aspect of it. And I think, again, the biggest thing is just the relationships and network that comes from it. That's where I really was like, you know what? 7-year-old Ashley was real. That's what she wanted to do, and that's what I'm doing.
Wow. That's wild. Now, I'm going even back to maybe pre-7-year-old Ashley here. So how did that actually come about? Like, at what point you knew that was always wanted you to do, but what nudged you? Was it like the first time you held a ball, or was it like the first time you went to see a live game? Or yeah. I know for me, like I was a kid, like I'm really dating myself, but there used to be a league called the ABA. Okay. And the ABA, they played with a red, white, and blue basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Indiana, and we had a team called the Indiana Pacers, obviously same name as the NBA team, but they were an ABA team that three-peated ABA titles a long time ago. But they used to play with this red, white, and blue ball. And when they would shoot the ball, the colors would like spin in the air. Uh-huh. And I thought, and then so my first, I don't know, I was like 7 or 8 birthday or something, I got a basketball, my mom got me a red, white, and blue ball, like the ABA guys, and it was over. That was like, it was it. Like, awesome. Now we all want to play forever, but that's, I don't ever want to be away from this thing right here. That was like that first feeling. So I know it hit you when you were 7, but do you remember what it was?
I think it was just the game, the team aspect and being on a team and working for a team goal. I loved football too. I played football. I was played tackle football and played in the streets with all the boys back home. And so I think it was just the aspect of being part of a team and knowing that there was camaraderie, because you go to golf and it's an individual mental game. Yes, there's a team that you're trying to get into further tournaments, but it's an individual mental thing. And so I loved that aspect. I do think that just something about a basketball was so much better than a golf ball. And yeah. I don't really think there was one specific thing outside of just basketball.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, sometimes you just know that, and that's okay too.
I love golf.
You were right.
But I have to say, golf is the one sport that is just like, it is so difficult. Arguably, probably more. I'm going to say it's more difficult than basketball because it's more of an individual sport where you don't have somebody talking in your ear, giving you the answers to the test. You got to figure it out yourself before you get there. And as soon as you're out there, you got the wind, you got so many different things you got to read. You got the grass, the moistness, like there's too much. It's just like,
oh yeah.
But we digress. We're here to talk about Ashley Lopez, right? We're not here to talk about my issues at golf. So, but off of all of that, like, honestly, you especially have a history that resonates, I'm sure, with somebody out there. And ultimately what it is, one of your first roles, if not first role, was a GA position. And as you said, I know before, you were about 27 years old when you took that position. So it was a little bit later in the career, which I wouldn't even say later. I'd still say that's relatively early, but for the general public and what most people, but then also to piggyback off of that, you were named the 30 under 30. So not only were you first in starting a little bit later, but you also got an opportunity to get that. You were the first female head coach at the level for the Valley Horned Frogs, which you were talking about in the Evolution Basketball Association. So it's like you have already set accolades for yourself, not even including your first opportunity with the GA role at GCU. So if we're diving into that, then like you were appointed an assistant coach following your GA position. Talk about growing in that GA position to really be able to be seen as somebody who could be an assistant coach and then gravitating into that assistant role.
Yeah, I want to go back. I know you started this giving Coach P a shout out, and I have to go even further back and give Coach Eric Gracia a shout out, because I think that, like I said, from a very early age, I learned that networking and connections, relationships are what gets you where you need to be in this industry. And it's about who you know. And I've also always had the mentality of you never know who's in the same room as you. You never know who you're going to cross paths with. And I was super blessed by Coach Gracia with a scholarship to become a member of Rising Coaches. And so this was when I was a student manager. I knew that it was going to be very important to get involved and network across the country. And I would down, I'm from a small town down in South Texas. And so there's UTRGV is the only university there. And then the next closest one is going to be Corpus Christi, Texas A&M, and then San Antonio. And networking down in the Valley is really hard. And so joining Rising Coaches Association through Eric and Coach P as a duo, they tag team and said, hey, let's get Ashley a part of everything that she needs to be part of to be successful. And huge shout out to the two of them. They are definitely part of my foundation in all this. But being a student manager, you learn so much about everything outside of X's and O's. And it's very true what everybody says. X's and O's are probably 20% of the job, but it goes down to recruiting and scheduling and planning and ordering gear and equipment and team retreats and team activities. And so after being a student manager, Coach Miller called me and said, hey, I've heard a lot about you. Will you come be my graduate assistant? And at 27, I'm too old to do that. There's a timeline, and I know people that are assistant coaches at 28, 29, and 30. How can I be a GA? And so I struggled for a little bit, full transparency. I struggled with the idea of being a graduate assistant. I had coached that semi-pro team. I was an athletic director for a few years. And so it didn't sit right with me, but then I had just an epiphany moment. And I was like, this industry is about helping people and using basketball as a platform to change lives. And so I knew it immediately. I did some research on Molly Miller and some research on Grand Canyon University. And I said, you know what, if I want to get my foot in the door and continue building these connections and networking, Molly Miller is somebody I need to do that with. And so I called her back and I said, yeah, when do you need me? And I want to say that she said something like, Monday, if you can
yesterday.
like Wednesday or Thursday. And she wanted me there a few days later. And so we talked through some logistics, and I ended up getting out there as soon as I could and hit the ground running. And in my only year as a GA, I think that my biggest promise to myself was to be a sponge and essentially a fly on the wall without just being the fly. Listen in on conversations and get in the office with the coaches and watch film and break it down and be the one to go pick up the athletes from classes and bring them to practice and get to shoot arounds an hour early and help set up and rebound for players. And I think being a GA is so much bigger than what some people give them credit for. Student managers and graduate assistants, programs could not run without them. And having been one myself, but also one of my responsibility is to oversee our managers and GAs and interns. I have so much appreciation for them, but I also have a different perspective on what that role is about. And it's just being in that year, and then at the end of it, Molly coming and saying, hey, could I make you an assistant? I want to keep you around and I want you to continue to grow. And she often says, Ashley's my mini me. And she'll walk into meetings and she'll walk into conferences and she'll say, this is Ashley. She's my mini me. She knows exactly what I'm thinking. She knows exactly what needs to be done. And so I take a lot of pride in that because, again, I've only been with Molly for 2 full years. And so I think that's a testament to the promise I made to myself to be a sponge and learn everything that I needed to learn to in turn make the program better. And I think for me, the biggest thing was just learning that every single coach brought a different attribute to the staff. And so diving into every coach's strength, which in turn helps me figure out who I want to be as a coach. What is my identity and what am I going to stand for? And so the GA year was so important for me, and I know it's important for every other GA. And
you know what, Ashley, the people that, you know, there's that phrase, those who matter don't mind and those who mind don't matter. But those who mind that don't know about GAs, they don't matter. Those that know the deal about GAs and managers and get it, like they get it and they know, like they're absolute unsung heroes, invaluable. And for everybody listening, we did not plan on the Rising Coaches plug that Ashley gave us, but we'll take it. We appreciate it. Shout out to Eric and Coach Patty as well. But I think probably what helps you with Molly, correct me if I'm wrong or confirm me if it's right, having been a head coach already at a young age, it gives you a bit of empathy for her role just from the standpoint of anytime you're a head coach of at any level. It changes your view and your perspective of coaching staff from the standpoint of you're thinking about everybody, and you probably didn't have a very big staff with semi-pro team, but you still have to occupy yourself with everyone that's helping you and that you're working with. And so I'm guessing that probably helps you become Molly's mini-me in a way, because you've got a different, you got a unique level of empathy for what she has to do.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that what she always reminds me of is that one of my biggest attributes to her and the programs that now I say programs, so GCU and now ASU, is I really care about people. And that's not even just a motto I have for my work and my career in my life. I care genuinely about people further than just what their title says they are. And it goes, it's the same way for assistants I work with, but as student athletes, I care about the holistic approach of people. And so being able to see that's not number 13 last tier POA. That's just last tier POA with the background she has and the personal history she has. Everybody is battling their own things. Everyone has their own experiences that make them who they are, which in turn brings a culture together. And so I think that's always been my biggest thing. And I take a lot of pride in really caring about the human and what they are outside of assistant, associate, recruiting coordinator, the janitor, our dietitian, our strength coach. I genuinely care about people. And so Molly often pulls me aside and she'll say, hey, you bring that to the table and it helps me be able to do my job the way I need to do it. And so I definitely have learned that not only from being a head coach and an athletic director and having to manage so much, but being the oldest of seven. I have six younger brothers and sisters and they all are very different. And so I care about each of them and what they need and how do I affect their life? How do I inspire them and how do I motivate them? And so it's just the approach I have, I think, is very different. And in this industry, I think you need some people like that.
100%. No, yes, six younger siblings. You were a head coach way before the
Maybe that's what it was.
You got a lot.
I had my own team to coach.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you had a whole team and you had some reserves too.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got a lot of reps early on, young lady. No, that's awesome. So this business, I said that about someone else we had on this morning, but they deserved it as well as you. But yeah, we're just in such a speed dating and recruiting, and it's a transactional age we're in. So the more coaches that want to coach players from head to toe, we can't have enough of them. So I love that you said that.
I appreciate that. It is. It's very important. I know that especially in our last year at GCU, having the season we had from the outside looking in, it's dang, they killed it. And that was great. And they only lost three games the whole year. But the sacrifices and the buy-in that it took, every player still had their struggles. Every single coach still had personal things going on. And it's just those are the years that make me think like, from the outside, someone could look like they have it all together and everything is going perfect for them. But on the inside, they're still battling something that they're having to wake up every day and push past. And so just being able to really care about people, I take a lot of pride in that. And
yeah, I love it. Now, the championship journeys are full of jagged edges now.
They are. They really are.
People don't. That's, like you said, though, outside looking in, big guy in the stands eating Doritos or nachos. He thinks this has been a smooth ride.
Right.
His buddy, if you could only live with us for a week.
I was going to say, if only you knew.
But yeah, well said.
The nicest part about it all is you have somebody who is ultimately taking you and putting you under their wing, being able to walk you through everything that they're doing. And I feel like that is one thing as a head coach that I've been fortunate to be able to have was people who have come here, sit next to me, like, why should we do this? And they ask you questions for it. Even though they know the answer, and they already know what they're going to do. They ask you questions. And like my coach will call me now and be like, hey, what do you think we should do with this? I'll tell him. And he goes, I like that, but what about this? And here's some other ideas. And this is, and it's just like now you're hearing different ideas. You're learning more from it. So it's great to be able to have somebody in that, in your side that's really looking forward to teaching you. Because now, give it 5-10 years, I'm sure you're probably going to look back and say, I remember how my coach treated me. I'm going to do the same thing. And it's just it's a continuous cycle. But just to give everybody an idea as to what you're referencing, the 24-25 season with the Lopes, you guys set a record for 32 wins in the first NCAA tournament berth. So I know not many people probably, as soon as you said the season we had, I wanted to make sure everybody has some idea. It wasn't just like you had a 20-win season. It was a 32-win season and setting a school record and first NCAA tournament berth in school history for the women's program. So talk about that team a little bit. Like, what really helped guide that team? As you said, there's a lot of bumps in the road, but like the successes, what were some of the things that you guys feel you did?
Yeah, man, I think back on that year and I feel like I get goosebumps every single time I think about it or I talk about it or I go watch videos. I think the biggest thing was the relentlessness that every single player and coach had. Like, we're winning games and it's almost harder to win games than it is to come up with a loss. Staying consistent and continuing to win and show up every day when it becomes stagnant and it becomes almost like their buy-in could waver. And I think the relentlessness from player one to player 15 every single day was amazing. And it's pretty cool. Our championship rings just came in and Coach Miller every single day, every game time, every halftime, 0-0. Our record is 0-0. The score is 0-0. Whether we were up by 20, there were some games we'd come in at halftime and we were down. And it was, how are you going to come back out onto that court and win this game right now? And so I think just the mentality that everybody had and being able to buy into the process and trust us as a staff to know that we were going to put everybody in the place they needed to be in to succeed. And again, my perspective on that is it's so much more than just basketball. It was being able to manage their academics, being able to manage their personal life, but athletes and coaches included, and being able to trust that Coach Miller was doing what was best for the program and we were going to follow suit as assistants and that the players were going to follow along lockstep. And yeah, that season was absolutely magical. I think that the few games we lost were heartbreakers, but they were also a chance for us to learn what we need to do better and how we need to continue to trust each other. And so I think there's no such thing as a perfect game, a perfect season. And I just think that, yeah, that was one for the books, without a doubt. Every single game was amazing. And practices, we had our practices where it was just, hey, we're going to run. And we're going to run until you figure it out. And those practices were very few, but they still happened. And I think that goes hand in hand with what we were saying. The people that come to the games, they're like, oh my gosh, this is such a great team. And they got it all together and they're just winning. And this is crazy. On the behind the scenes, there's still stuff that rough patches we had to go through. It, small injuries we had to deal with. And yeah, it was crazy to say that.
20 is great. 30 is ridiculous. And I don't care what level, like the difference between 20 and 30, ooh, man. But every great team, yeah, 30 is ridiculous. But I think
with your team. I have to say, I have to really go back. And the staff that Molly put together last year was absolutely amazing from top to bottom. Every single person deserves a shout out. And Coach Glover has been around this game for, I'm just going to say 30 plus years because I don't need him to get mad at me, but he's been at every level and he knows what it takes to win and being able to run the offense to a T and knowing where, what play needs to be called for what player based on the defense and the counteracts that they're going to come to us with. And then Coach Dink, that's the ultimate definition of a player's coach. And I think that I am so proud of her and everything that she did for me last year, just on a personal level, but now being at Northern Arizona as the head coach and being able to stack her wins personally, but also know what every single player needed. And then Coach Camacho, he came in with the energy that was needed for us to get pushed through the season and his relentlessness in making sure that players every single day showed up and were accountable to each other, but to themselves. That was the true definition of what it means to love on somebody, but tough love. He was great at that. And then Deja Bernard, that girl's one of my best friends, and being able to still work with her to this day has been such a huge blessing just because of her ability to do everything that she needs to do, but also be bought into what is happening. But then her history, I mean, she absolutely hates when I bring this up, but being an All-American, Jersey retired, Defensive Player of the Year multiple years with Molly back at Drury is just crazy. And so the staff was just, that made our whole year, at least for myself, being a first-time assistant coach, in Molly's program, the staff is really, and it goes back to, it's the people. It's about the people you surround yourself with and the people that build you up. So I needed to do that.
No, that's all right. That's awesome. No, I love that. when you said relentlessness, both players and staff, what I love about that is, and no great team can get around this. People sometimes think there's choices, but not if you want to be great. There's not that many choices. You either decide that this takes what it takes, mm-hmm. or we won't do it. 100%. But every great team learns how to beat itself. And that's how you guys get the 30 wins. Like the days where the gym, you just didn't feel it, or there's not juice in there, or like you said, the shell drill stinks right now. Whether it's suicides, or we're just going to stay with three stops in a row till we literally get three stops in a row, and something else on the schedule might have to either get dropped off or we'll pick it up tomorrow. But every great team learns to beat itself first.
Yep.
And by beating itself, it's what are the things that can keep us from being as good as we can be? Can we beat ourselves by beating those things? And then if you can knock that stuff out, you got a chance against any opponent you play. That doesn't mean you're going to win every game, but you're going to give yourself a chance every night.
For sure. I think that there's one game specifically I can remember that we lost. And I think it went back to discipline. It goes exactly along the lines of what you just said. We beat ourselves because we weren't disciplined when it came to fouling. You start fouling, you have to come to the bench, and then we're putting in subs, and we need the players to make plays and stay in the game. And so along with relentlessness, I think that outside of the couple times that we weren't disciplined, I think being a disciplined team is what got us to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't personally believe – now, I played for two old-school coaches, so, of course, I have the old-school mindset in that regard. But I could not believe in discipline more. And, obviously, there's a certain stretch to, like, how disciplined. I'm not talking, like, I don't know, anything too extreme. But definitely you need a discipline, showing up early to practice, making sure everybody's in there. Just little things like that might not sound like a lot, at least from a kid's perspective. Like, I think all of us coaches, everybody talking and everybody listening, probably is, yeah, well, that's – but the player's perspective, they have no idea. They just think, oh, I'm 5 minutes late. What's the big deal? Come on, I'm just – whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But it means so much more.
It does. It really does. And it's so much more than just the 5 minutes being late. It's your team is counting on you to show up every single day. Again, whether you're the number one or the number 15 on the roster, we need everybody. Everybody plays a role, and everybody's role is just as important as – the person to the right and left of you. And it goes back to rehab and academics, staying eligible, being available, being able to be flexible if we have to move a practice or change a start time. And it really is being a student athlete, being a coach at this level. It's you don't understand it until you go through it, or you know someone that goes through it. And yeah, it's one of a kind.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your current role. So as we said, you ultimately go Texas Rio Grande Valley and then Grand Canyon, where now leads you to ASU, Arizona State University. Being a player development, or I should say director of player development, excuse me, and then recruiting operations, more talking on the player development side. What are Coach Ashley Lopez's just like biggest keys that you look for in drills? Now, obviously it could be depending on bigs, you're working one thing, guards, you're working another. But what are some just non-negotiable things that when you're coming to these workouts, this is what you're bringing?
Effort. Literally effort. If you can't come into a workout, a practice, a shoot around and not bring your best effort, you're wasting my time. You're wasting Coach Miller's time. You're wasting our time. I think I'm saying you as the athlete. Athletes are handpicked by a staff to come and join and be able to bring what is needed to the table. And if you can't show up with your best effort, with your best body language, with your best attitude and energy — I have to throw energy in there or Molly might fire me — but if you can't come with those four things to our practice, you're wasting our time. And I know that sounded brash, but it's the name of the game. And going from the WAC to the Big 12, huge jump. And I think people have obviously called me and texted me and, hey, you just went from low mid-major to a Power Four. What's the biggest difference? And I said, you have to show up every day, whether you want to or not. And it goes for drills. It goes for practice. It goes for rehab. It goes for coaches up here in the office. There's so much to get done. And So I think my biggest non-negotiable is just your effort, being able to come in and want to do it, want to get better. And I will say the team we have right now, their effort is off the charts. I think, again, there's going to be some days where someone's going to come in with 30% in the tank, whether that's because they stayed up late to do a project or they're coming back from an injury. But when we have other players that bring that 70% that she needs, it brings us to 100% as a team. And I think, yeah, in workouts, individual player workouts that I've been doing and helping other assistants with, it's the effort and it's habits. It's practicing good habits. Mm-hmm. And I think we could teach you something, but if you don't carry it over to the next day and the next day and the next week, I'm going to go back to it. You wasted our time. But again, Molly hired us all, specifically this Arizona State staff, because of our backgrounds and what we bring to the table. And so she trusts us to do our job. In turn, we need the players to trust that if we're asking them to dribble the ball 20 times and then shoot, it's for a purpose. There's a reason behind it. And being able to get the players to understand us and trust us, being a new staff, being a brand new roster, carrying over 4 girls from last year and bringing in 10 new ones, knowing that we are going to get everybody where they need to be successful for their individual selves, but the overall success of the team. And so effort and practicing good habits. I think that short and simple, everything else flows and follows along. But yeah, those are my two biggest things. But then I also obviously preach energy, whether it's an individual workout, I got 2 girls or I have 4, energy, having energy with yourself, being positive. You're going to have days where you just can't make a shot to save your life. But where can you fill in the gaps? Get downhill and rebound. Go draw an and one. Set good screens. Talk to your teammates. If you're on the bench, have great Benergy. That's one of Molly Miller's. She should have it trademarked, but Benergy.
Yeah, I like it.
And so I think that, yeah.
So are you the energy person out of the seven children in your family?
Of my siblings.
The energy. You know
what? Probably. Yeah. I think there's only 2 others.
That you're the tone setter.
I try to be. There's only 2 others that played sports. I think the 3 of us are very competitive within each other, but I think 1 being the oldest, but 2 also having gone through so much as far as playing all the sports and getting through life. It's just, yeah. Your perspective is everything. Energy is everything. You could wake up every day and say, I'm going to have a great day. Or you could wake up and be mad about things that happened yesterday. And it's just not going to make you have a good day. So energy is huge.
Good stuff. Now, your head coach is Molly Miller.
Yes.
Molly, we'll switch channels and talk ball here, specific ball for a moment. I'm an Arizona State fan.
Okay.
I am now for sure after you. Yeah, forks up. But I am now because of you. But I'm hypothetically also saying I'm a fan. After I watch a Molly Miller coached Arizona State team play, what would you want me to feel? Not just from an energy and excitement perspective, but offensively, defensively, what can I expect as an Arizona State fan from a Molly Miller coached team?
You're going to get a team that is going to come together and be gritty and tough. Molly has a saying that she said is from probably before I got there, but every 50-50 ball is 100% ours. And so we are very much a defensive team, and that's Molly's pride and joy. But you're going to have a team that's going to take charges and run and help each other up. You're going to have a team that's diving on the floor for a loose ball. You're going to have a team that is talking and communicating, and on defense, we're flying around and getting out. And we are going to do everything we can to put the best form of basketball on this new court. And so I think you said outside of the energy, but I am going to say these games will be electric. And I think
you have to
be part of one, and you have to sit in the stands and watch one for you to understand. But I know that when we host people at practice, I'll see them out or walk with them out, and they're like, I wanted to get up and get in the drills. And so it's just the non-negotiable around here is energy. And that goes for the 11 practice players I have and the 4 leaders that I have as far as GAs and interns. Like, everybody is locked in. Everybody is focused at the task at hand, and we are energetic about it. And it's going to be some fun basketball. I'll say
I like it. Forks up, Dougie. Let's go.
The one thing I take away from that too is especially the everybody talking, the grit. Like, that isn't something that people just wake up and come into practice and they're like, all right, I'm going to be gritty today. That's a full preseason leading up to everything into it. Like, you have to fully teach. Now, maybe, don't get me wrong, there's a person or two in there, I'm sure, that you recruited because they're definitely really gritty. But I feel like a lot of that has to do with something that is taught or brought into, instilled into players, right? Because high school coaches, not all of them, really know how to necessarily instill that. Now, again, it all depends. But that's definitely something that has to be, like, input into those players, which definitely is a testament to you guys as a coaching staff, because being able to instill that and still be successful is amazing.
Yeah, I think Coach Miller says this all the time, and it's one of my ways of just coaching and my leadership styles. I can't expect somebody else to do something I'm not willing to do or I'm not capable of doing. And so Coach Miller always in staff meetings or before practice, and she'll say, if I can't bring the energy, I shouldn't expect for them to. If you guys can't bring the energy, you can't expect for them to. And so it's a standard that we have, being able to come in every day and bring the energy and expect, hold the players to a standard of coming in with the best energy. Like I've said during this podcast, is you're going to have days where you're just not feeling it. But being able to get the players to understand, when you walk through the door, basketball is your sanctuary. This is where you come and get away from all life's problems. This is where you come and forget about that paper you have to do in a few hours. Right now, it's about basketball. And right now, it's about your sisters and your coaches. And it's about the jersey that you're wearing, the name on the front. And cliche as it is, it really is true. And when you can hold that standard as a staff, it bleeds into the players. And I think that, again, going into my third season with Molly, I've seen that every single year. There's not a single practice that we come into where Molly has to beg for people to come with energy. It just naturally happens, but it starts from the top. And I think that's super important in a lot of aspects of coaching college basketball. It has to start from the top. And I think Molly does a really good job of setting the standard and being the example so that everyone follows suit.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Kids are brilliant. Yeah. They can tell. They never get enough credit for this, but the staff is, for whatever reason, disjointed, not fully connected, three people all in, two people looking for the next job while you still have the one you have. Kids can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
They know if you really, they know day to day, if you really, for lack of a better phrase, they know if you're really rocking with them or not. And they can, right. They don't get enough credit for having the antennas that they have to pick up on that stuff. But they also can pick up on when it's right.
100%. And
the more we model it, you're right, the more they do it. I've never, being gritty is not like a, yeah, let me think about it type of thing. Like, a great team, no great team is gritty. It's like you aren't.
Right.
But that's something that everybody's got to be all in on. But yeah, I'm excited as a potential and now Arizona State women's basketball fan because of Ashley. I'm excited.
We love it. Dougie. We love it. I'm going to have to get you off of here.
Oh, hey, we are. We'll talk business after we sign off here. We will talk
official business.
Hey, let's get it set up.
We'll talk gear business when Dougie signs us off here. So. Yeah.
No, but one thing too, like, I want to make sure to ask just before we tie it all up, is just really bringing you back as a young coach. Now, again, when I say bringing you back to your first position, ultimately, as everybody knows now, you've had a couple stops, so you are still a young coach and there is still a lot more book to be written. But out of those steps that you have and any information that you would share with yourself starting in the profession, what would that advice be with your younger self?
Ooh. I always love these questions because it really makes me sit back and think about the position I'm in now. When you hear that cliche quote that says, I remember these are the days I prayed for. I remember the time I prayed for this. And so I really am sitting in the position of what I used to pray for. And so I was a little bit vulnerable and I gave away my ego and how that played a role in my first year as a GA. And that was tough because I'm 27, and thinking back to all of that, I really wish that I had just allowed myself to trust the process. And I think that's something super important for athletes to know, for young coaches to know, for student managers to know, you really have to trust the process. You can't expect to step into a role and immediately be the head coach. But outside of that, I think I'm super big on it now, and I preach it a lot, and I model it, and I do my best to outwardly expect everybody around me to do the same. But no job too big, no job too small. And that gets you so far when you're able to, yeah, I'll go pick it up, coach. I'll go do this for you. Whether it's a job assigned to you or not, it's one of the industry we're in is you have to be a servant leader. And I think that's just naturally what I gravitate towards most, being able to serve others. And we're here to serve the athletes at the end of the day. And I have learned a ton. And in such my short amount of time, my biggest thing is being able to use my platform to inspire and mentor, motivate others that come after me and those that are alongside me right now. I do believe that even in this office, we have 100+ years of coaching experience combined. And I think that everybody has something to learn from each other. And I think that we've all done a great job of that, being able to sit in a room together and understand that we have Stephanie Norman and Jason Glover, who both are elite and legends in this industry, but they have so much knowledge to share, but they're also willing to hear us out. What do you think? And you were saying this a little bit ago, Doug, the collaboration part of it, being able to sit at a round table and talk, but know that she's only 29 in her third year, but she might be onto something. And so the feeling of being valued, it didn't just happen overnight. And I think that I had to go through that year of being a GA and being a sponge and just soaking it all up and networking and talking to other coaches and why do you do that and asking questions, but also being open for constructive criticism so that I could grow into the role that I'm sitting in right now. And I mean, I've said this and I really mean it, leaning into relationships has also been huge for me. I've met some people just through organizations, whether it's Rising Coaches or the other one that I'm big in is LABC, the Latino Association of Basketball Coaches, and just meeting people who have the same goal in mind and want to do the same things with what they have. And yeah, I've learned so much and I'm grateful for it all, but I'm super excited to be in the spot I'm in because it's part of my journey. And I think that I have so much to give back because of it in such my short amount of time.
Yeah. Said, my friend, not that you are, I like to call a 3D leader or 360 degrees. Like you understand the value of giving to, I hate to say it, it's not like people below you, but the people that maybe have to report to you or that you have to be in charge of. And then you're collaborating across and then you're serving up with Molly. So it's like 3D leadership. And this was awesome for us. We're just, like I said, we know school has started and schedules are flying around and the drop ads are driving people crazy because it's that first week, first 2 weeks of school, the drop ads are all over the place. But this has been just awesome for us. We're really happy you could jump on. So we appreciate it.
No, this was so awesome. I really appreciate you guys. Again, shout out Coach P, really, because this is what it's all about. It's meeting people. It's leaning into people. It's growing with people. And it's building those up that are around you. I hope to do the same for many more to come and all the young coaches that are out there that really just want that chance and want to be able to step into something that's greater than themselves, but starting within themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Ironically, Patty's pod just dropped yesterday. Ironically, it's just cool that we have you on the day after her pod dropped.
So. I hope to follow it up, and I hope to be half of what she is.
No, don't worry about that. This was awesome.
You will, and I will say, only speaking with you for now, 45 minutes to roughly an hour, like you definitely could tell you've been under the wing of some great people, and eventually, just from what you have said, you can 100%, you can always tell when someone's genuine and somebody's not, and it's definitely, you can feel it, but I'm sure at some point we're going to be seeing, give it 10, 15, however many years it is, that HC sitting right next to Ashley Lopez says head coach. And then when that opportunity come, I guarantee you look whoever is in that GA position and they're going to be probably GA or assistant, whoever young person is probably going to be in the same shoes as you. And then, hey, we might even be having a conversation with at that point. Please tell us how Ashley ended up helping you because we heard all of her story before. So. No, but genuinely, thank you very much. Just as grateful as you are, we're just as grateful to be able to have you on here. So we really do appreciate you. And as Al said, we'll be some ASU fans moving forward.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, we follow anybody who follows us.
It's been about 5 years now. Rising Coaches has done a lot for me, and everything that you guys do to help outreach and connect people is super special, because I think that if we don't have individuals like you guys willing to hear stories and share stories and get people known, this industry can't go round. And so I appreciate both of y'all for taking your time, for doing this for me, but for everybody else that has come across this platform and everybody that's bound to.
Thank you very much. And all the coaches out there, I'm sure you're going to take something from it, but regardless, we appreciate you for listening, for tuning in. And again, we always say, that puts the bow on top and adds another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast here. Alan Major, Doug Caputo, all you coaches, keep working, keep rising. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.